Welcome to episode 5 of season 9, Transforming Professional Learning. Today, we'll be discussing what happens after professional learning to answer the question, what have you learned this year about learner transfer and professional learning that has transformed your thinking? I'm Catherine, and I'm joined by my co-host, Laura.
Hi.
And we are so excited to be joined today by our guest and one of the original Digital Learning Radio podcast hosts, Ashley Wilson.
Hi, y'all. Thank you.
We will get reacquainted with you in a bit, but first, we'd like to begin with a story. So, Ashley, tell us your story and talk to us about what you have learned this year about transferring learning that has transformed your thinking.
Well, I have learned a lot about work learning research and the science of learning evaluation, mainly from the work of Dr. Will Thalhimer and his learning transfer evaluation model. And it uncovered, or maybe clarified is a better word, the problems that we have with data collection. As a professional learning organization, we need to gather evidence to determine that learning has occurred. The problem is that traditional measures of learning evaluation are virtually uncorrelated with learning results. And typical post-session evaluations are focused more on the participant's experience in the session and less about the how and when they will implement what they've learned. Just because participants liked the session and liked you doesn't mean they've learned. So this realization prompted me to research better learning evaluation methods. Cue all the rabbit holes. So Dr. Will has become right next to Gail Allen as my edu hero.
Woo, high praise.
Yeah.
Well, I have loved learning about this and have been on this journey with you. And Ashley and I are on a team that we're working to redesign professional learning at Region 10. And so this has been a fantastic outcome and can't wait to sink into more of these details with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love your kind of setup of this concept because it sounds so obvious and so easy and something that I'm thinking like, oh yeah, why didn't I think of this before? So I'm really glad that we're going to talk a little bit more about this. But first, before we chat more about focusing on transferring learning, we would love to get to know you or really get reacquainted with you a little bit more. So will you tell us a little bit about yourself? And since we're reflecting back on our pandemic experiences of the past year, if you ended up developing a pandemic hobby or have a cool or weird pandemic purchase that you want to share with us, we like hearing those too.
Sure, sure. And I think you can categorize my pandemic experience as weird. So we'll get to that.
Yes.
I was born and raised in Dallas. I'm an only child. Both of my parents were educators and they actually met at the old Dallas ISD administration building downtown. They both worked there. I'm a product of Dallas Public Schools, and my first teaching position was in DISD as an elementary PE coach. Mm. Well, that didn't go as planned. I did not enjoy that as much as I thought I would. So after 3 years, I moved to teach biology at the high school I graduated from. Fast forward to 2010, I started at Region 10 as an electronic learning applications consultant.
Whoa.
I know, like just in that name alone, you can see how technology integration has transformed over the last 11 years.
That sounds like a job for a robot.
It was a made up job. It really was a made up job. They kind of like, I just was set in my office and researched what 21st century skills meant. No joke. So now, after 11 years, I am now the program coordinator for digital learning. My pandemic purchases all can kind of go under the category of upgrades. Mm. So I signed up for the Bed Bath & Beyond like membership, like $29 a year, and you get 20% off and free shipping. So I started upgrading all of my kitchen stuff, not all of it, some of my kitchen stuff. Like I replaced the first food processor I've ever had. Like it's 20 years old. It was time for, you know, an upgrade. And then that's kind of the normal side, but on the weirder side of things, I also upgraded my car.
Ooh.
My husband and I like to go drag racing. So I got lighter wheels, sticky tires, and tuned it to make it try to go faster. I'm still not very fast. So that's an ongoing struggle.
This is awesome and weird. And I love it.
Well, I figured.
We've had several guests have talked about the kitchen upgrades or the cooking or the meal kit life. So I think that's a little trend in our world with the pandemic purchases. So I'm with the kitchen thing.
Who knew if you stay at home in your house all of the time and you're forced to eat your own cooking all of the time, meal and kitchen upgrades totally make sense.
Yeah. And I just still get as angry when people don't put them in the right place. So they just happen to be new, still in the wrong place. You know?
Fair, fair.
Yeah.
Okay, Ashley. So let's talk more about the idea of learner transfer and how it relates to transforming professional learning beyond the way we've always done things. So in case this topic is new for us, and it was new for me last year, mm-hmm. Will you please just give us a brief rundown of why learner transfer and what it really is and how it might look like in a professional learning setting?
Sure. And Laura, this kind of, I've had the same experience that you just kind of described about the post-evaluation surveys. As I dug in to the learning transfer evaluation model, I was like, I'm sorry, where has this information been all my life? Mm-hmm. I've been facilitating professional learning for over 10 years. Why is this the first time I'm hearing about this? And I guess it's because LTEM originally wasn't created for an education setting or for educators, but it completely applies. So LTIM is tiered, and each tier represents a target we measure to determine learning effectiveness. And some measures are better than others. So attendance, learner engagement, and learner satisfaction are really largely inadequate indicators of learning, representing the lower tiers. However, those measures do provide insight into our learning designs. So, and they also support the tiers above them. So moving up the model, we ask two questions. Do learners know what to do? And can learners actually do what they learn to do? So when we measure that in the design of our sessions, we can present learners with relevant, realistic situations, like scenarios or simulations, prod them to make instructional decisions, and then create plans for action. And this little practice piece is crucial because it provides learners with realistic practice and the behaviors needed for them to be effective in their work and achieve learning transfer. So at the top of the model, transfer lives there. And it occurs when a person takes what they've learned and successfully puts it into practice in their work. So behavior changes as a result of the learning experience.
Again, when I hear you describe this, I'm like, yes, yes, that makes sense. This is what we want to do with our students as classroom teachers. And just hearing it laid out, particularly in that tiered model and broken down in the way that you did in such a lovely and accessible way, really, really does spark my thinking. And kind of like you said, why have I never thought about this before as a designer of professional learning? And really just focusing on giving those experiences for participants to show that they know the thing and try the thing is such a small tweak, but one that I think is really important and, dare I say it on this podcast, transformative.
Well, and then I think when you talk about that and that time to practice, that seems like a tweak that we can make in all of our sessions, whether it is virtual, face-to-face, blended, whatever. However, we may need to adjust some things in our agenda to allow for that reflection time, to allow for that practice time. And that learning of this model has really made me rethink some of my agendas. So that's been a big part of this as well.
Well, same here. And I think I've left in my learning design, I've left the practice piece to the end. And, you know, if you're like me, I need to be in the right headspace to create and to design. And I think maybe even breaking that up into smaller bits throughout the learning experience may be more helpful, for our learners.
So can you give an example of something that you might have tweaked or how it might look in an actual professional learning session?
Well, thankful to the rabbit holes that I went down in the beginning, my thinking and design of learning experiences changed when I learned about some really smart and simple instructional moves that we can make to increase the likelihood that learning transfers. If we, what I mentioned before was that situation-based learning design, where you have a scenario and have participants create plans for action. It continues to rumble around in my head, and I'm still kind of thinking about that, what that can actually look like. But what I have implemented is triggered action planning, something that Dr. Will suggested that I look into when I was on a call with him this summer. You can sign up and he'll talk talked to you about LTIM and on a Zoom for 30 minutes. And he just happened to casually mention, oh, you need to look into triggered action planning, when he found out I deliver professional learning. And so it's a strategy that researchers call an implementation intention. And it is super simple. And it's, again, one of those, I feel like the theme of this podcast is like, why didn't I think of that? Or why haven't I known this before? So instead of just asking our learners what their goals are for implementing what they've learned, we also ask them to select situations when they will begin to carry out those goals. So here's the backstory, so to speak. Real world situational cues trigger thinking and action. And we know this from research on how context influences the learning to remembering process. Basically, we want learners, when they're back on the job, to be reminded of what they've learned. And triggered action planning, they double the likelihood that our learners use what we've taught them simply by having them link situations and action in their plannings. And bonus, we can use this for both professional and personal goals.
I love it. I think, I don't know which one of you I learned about triggered action planning from, but once I learned about it, I was really excited to try it out. And so kind of like Catherine was saying, okay, we got to do some tweaks in our agendas of our meetings or the layout of our PD time. And so Catherine and I were part of an experimental piece, I think this fall, was it in the fall? Where we had a guest speaker come in, and by come in, I mean come into our Zoom room and give really basically a keynote speech. And talk that was, you know, about an hour in length. And so instead of having just a one and done 1 hour webinar or 1 hour keynote and then move on with your lives, we tacked on another, you know, 15, 20 minutes to that and gave participants the opportunity to stop and reflect and use that triggered action planning to think about, okay, based on what I just heard, what's my goal? What do I want to take away from this? And then what situation will I find myself in to then have that actual action to make the change? And so we doubled down and gave them the opportunity to reflect individually and then put them in some magical Zoom breakout rooms with an accountability partner just to share out loud, to have one more layer of thinking to really move to that learner transfer piece. And we got good feedback from the participants who were a part of that. I had never thought about organizing, you know, a 1 hour lunch and learn guest speaker type of event like this. And so, yeah, just an easy tweak, but rethinking how we're spending our time, which has also been, you know, a big topic of the podcast this season, is something that I'm really interested in and excited about intentionally planning for upcoming events as well.
Well, and then thinking about that was the very first time I tried the triggered action planning. And I think of it now like an if-then statement. Mm-hmm. And I actually got that from one of Dr. Will's webinars as well. And the example that I use constantly is my trigger is opening a Google Doc to create a new agenda. So if I'm opening my Google Doc, that's the trigger. I want to make sure that I include reflection time or this action planning time. So I put that in my agenda table. And so that may be completely out of order, but it's like the trigger, opening the Google Doc, put that, make sure I leave time for reflection. And then that ensures that this is going to happen. So that's, you know, I think we added, I can't remember, Laura, if it was 15 or 20 minutes to that, that webinar, but it was not a huge tweak to the agenda. Listen to the keynote and then do this triggered action planning.
It's such a small step, like just including a situation and what you normally think of as your action planning or goal setting. Really, the research shows it works.
So I am going to possibly put Catherine on the spotlight or in the spotlight here. When I think about that transfer of learning, something that Catherine does so well, that I think all of the members of the digital learning team at Region 10 do so well, which is that extension piece. And that is something that I'm really working to transform and think differently when I am planning upcoming sessions. Catherine and crew do such a good job of kind of priming the pump before a session with an intentional email, but then having multiple follow-up pieces is really good. Like I received one today that said, "Hey, Laura, it's been 2 months since you came to this session. what are you thinking? How have you changed your practice? And I truthfully went like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot I attended that session. And oh yeah, I thought I wanted to do that thing. And so Catherine, do you want to tell us a little bit about your process? Because I know as a learner, it's really helped me to give me those, oh yeah, I said I wanted to do it, I should do it moments.
Well, this is a little bit off of Dr. Will's work, but it's still applicable. And shout out to Nancy Watson for finding this article that it talks about how do you remember almost anything after a training? And the idea is to touch base with people 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months after the training. And here's where I'm bringing Dr. Will back in is that I've used favorite tool formula to create these automated responses, but now I am tweaking my questions so that it is in an upper level of that tier so that the participants are hopefully remembering what situation we did in the actual webinar or the training, and then what's the plan, and then possibly show evidence of implementation. So I am all about the follow-up email.
Well, and that does directly relate to LTIM because you don't know. I mean, extension piece is what happens before or after the learning, obviously, but you wouldn't be able to know if a participant implemented what they've learned unless you follow up and with an email or some sort of support, even perhaps offering them credit hours for implementing whatever it is that from your session. So that's extension is really built in to the whole model.
I love it. And again, I've benefited by being a learner in some of these sessions. And I love when there is kind of a mini application piece, like, hey, take what you learned or said you wanted to do and put it in this Mentimeter so you can see everyone else's thoughts too, or fill out this spreadsheet and link the thing that you built. And so there's a tiny piece of accountability that I want to show that I did what I said I would do. And again, I have found it really effective. So thank you to all of you for enhancing my learning there.
Well, so I think that, again, we can make small tweaks and really transform and make that learning stick and get those change behaviors.
I love that. That is certainly helpful. So we've talked about a handful of ideas and again, small tweaks that really can have some payoff for our learners. Let's narrow it down to one takeaway resource or idea to share about learner transfer as we think about transforming professional learning. What would that one takeaway be? Ashley, as our guest, we'll have you go first.
So, and I almost hesitate to share this because it is a rabbit hole, but if anyone who wants to truly geek out about learning evaluation and even presentation science, I would check out worklearning.com. That's Dr. Will's site. There's just so much. He is so welcoming and loves to share. You could probably schedule a Zoom call and ask him anything. He would share everything that he knows. He's really fantastic. Beyond that, it's the triggered action planning. Just that one simple tweak to asking your participants instead of, do you think you can implement this in your classroom? Just kind of forming that question that we've asked historically in a little bit of a different way.
I look forward to rabbit hole time to come. Catherine, what about you?
Well, as I just mentioned, I am all about the follow-up email and making it automated is even better. So I mentioned it, but I will put the link. Formule is my new best friend for extending those learning opportunities and sending those emails automatically. So that's my one takeaway and resource. Laura, what about you?
So for me, I am actually going to say the same thing that Ashley said, but tweak it a little bit. I always cheat these things. So I'm going to go with triggered action planning based on the experience that I described that we tried this fall. Again, experiences that I've been a part as a learner, really thinking about getting participants to think about how they're going to apply the learning beyond just a reflection question or a generic goal. But my tweak is not only sharing that with participants and kind of baking that time into professional learning that I'm designing, but also using it for myself. I'm thinking about all the things you're saying today, Ashley, where I'm like, wow, this really is pretty simple. I just need to change the way I'm thinking. And so creating a triggered action plan for myself. Okay, it's April. I know that it is busy summer PD planning time. So what triggered action plan can I create for myself so that I don't forget these things and actually transfer the learning? So I will share it with others, but also benefit myself. And please call me on this in a few weeks and ask how that's going.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear about that, Laura. You may have to share your process there, and I may want to admire and acquire that myself.
Accountability time. I have to do it now.
Okay, we like to wrap up our conversation with each of us sharing a reflection using the same stem. I used to think blank, but now I think blank. And today about learner transfer and professional learning. So again, Ashley, we will let you go first.
Okay. So I'm going to admire and acquire a thought from one of our colleagues, Julie Frizzell. And this came up in one of Catherine's sessions of Feedback for Learning a couple of weeks ago. And going back to my first, when I mentioned my first thing I talked about on the pod today was that post-session evaluation and how it doesn't really give us the data that we need. What can we do? Since this is the system that we have, what can we do to ensure that the data that we get is a little bit better than it is right now? And so I used to think that just asking learners to plan forward or share their learning with colleagues was enough to nudge learners to apply their learning. But now I want to give learners time to fill out the open-ended question at the end of the survey. It was like, what did you especially like, or what would you have changed? That one open-ended question is the one question where we can get some decent feedback as learning designers. And so having them have that time to craft that question thoughtfully in the moment and just put it aside, wait till they get that evaluation email. They're like, oh, I'm going to fill out that last question because I've already have my answer. So that can kind of be a trigger. So filling out that question ahead of time can trigger them when they get that email to actually fill out with their thoughtful response.
Ooh, love that.
Nice. Okay, Laura, what about you?
Okay, so I feel silly saying this, but it's true. I used to think learner transfer would just magically or spontaneously happen as a result of just attending a PD session. However, now I think it's a crucial and intentional design piece to consider and plan for when creating a professional learning experience.
So you mean that if they attend my session, it's just not going to magically happen in their classrooms? Is that?
I mean, maybe yours, because you're delightful, but maybe add some specific planning in there too.
Well, I am going to add to yours. Yes, and yours. I used to think that this reflection, the learner transfer, wasn't worth the hassle during small 1-hour webinar sessions. But now I think I must embed that time, make time for that reflection in the planning forward piece in every single thing that we do. So it has to become part of the agenda and ingrained in every type of session.
Love it. Ashley, what a great conversation this has been. Thank you for sharing your insight and thinking about learner transfer. I know that you've given me quite a few things to think about, and thanks for reconnecting on the podcast. I am excited about the potential of continued transformation to come. Ashley, if listeners would like to learn with you, what's the best way for others to connect with you?
I'm on Twitter at AshleyWilsonEDU.
Awesome. We'll be sure to link that in the show notes as well. And yes, thanks again for being here.
Thanks, y'all. This is great.
Yay. Well, if we are going to transform professional learning, we need to take some ambitious steps to make certain our professional learning leads to changed behaviors. So I found a recent article in ASCD Express where the authors say, ambitious learning for students requires ambitious learning for teachers. And I think that's where our role comes in. We have to plan that ambitious learning for teachers.
Absolutely. Let's strive to let go, create new, and reimagine. Let's transform.